I invite you to turn, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. My text will be verse 9 and verse 10, but I would like to read verse 5 down through verse 15. So Matthew, chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you are familiar with human nature, then you know that every one of us have a particular outlook on life. Some people are half glass full, and some are half glass empty. That is, some people look on the bright side of things and see the silver lining, while other people are gloom and doom and rarely see the good in anything. Therefore, some people are positive and some are negative. Many of you remember Bob Williamson. He used to tell me that he didn't like to be around negative people. He said that negative people will draw you or pull you down, and how true that is. Will we be glass half full people or glass half empty? Will everything that happens today be perceived as positive or negative? Do we look forward to God's blessing every day? Or are we soured toward life and wish each day would pass quickly? Will we be like Israel's outlook, of which God forewarns because of their sin? Deuteronomy says, In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. Will you be like that? Or shall we be like the psalmist who said, This is the day which the Lord hath made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. I submit unto you that your view will depend upon the priority of God's involvement and interaction in your life. Will God be a part of your day or not? Not too long ago, I was talking with the Lord in my morning devotion, and I was reminded of this lesson on prayer. In fact, I quoted the prayer of our passage as part of my address to God. And as I did, it occurred to me that as a Christian, I ought to have a particular outlook on the day that lies ahead. And after my time with the Lord, I gave consideration to the subject of our outlook on life. How important is it to have the right perspective? The following message is a result of my reflections upon this matter. It is my objective that we carefully examine our text and discern its impact upon our day. What sort of viewpoint do you take every morning? What is your outlook as you face a new day? Most important, will your day be one which involves the Lord, or will you exclude Him from the day's activity? What is your daily perspective? And so the title of the message is Daily Perspective. And that's what we're going to concern ourselves with. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house and those who are able to be with us. And we just thank you for your blessings and your watch care and your provision. And Lord, we just ask that as we study your word today and that message which you've laid upon my heart as I share it, oh God, I pray that you would take its principles and its truths to our hearts by your Spirit, that we might be better servants because of it, that we might focus upon you day after day after day, and may we begin early in the day. And God, we pray that you would just meet every need of our hearts and help us to live well for you and to honor you with our lives. We pray for those that are not with us today due to sickness and providential hindrance. Lord, you know them and we commit them to you. We ask that you would meet their needs. We pray for the bereaved, that you would comfort them. And so we commit this time to you today and we honor you with it. And we pray that your will would be accomplished. We ask especially for those that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to you that they might be saved even today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk about daily perspective. Verse 9, verse 10 will be my text. It's just a part of the model prayer of which Jesus offers. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so as I think about the daily perspective and the application of which I shall give to you in just a moment, I want to briefly review the passage that is before us, that which is in our reading. Now this is instruction regarding prayer from verse 5 through verse 8. If you go back and glance at that, you'll find it has to do with our motive. Why do we do what we do? Do we do it to be seen of individuals so that someone can pat us on the back and think that we're spiritual? Why do we pray? And so there's the motive, verse 5 through verse 8. From verse 9 down through verse 15 is the manner in which we ought to pray. And Jesus states that very clearly. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. So this is instruction regarding prayer. Now under this matter of prayer, from verse 9 down through verse 15, I surmise that there are three directions to our prayers. And just allow me to make this application. First of all, there's the vertical, verse 9 and verse 10. It's your relationship between you and God, your response between Him and you. It's on the vertical. And in verse 11 and 12, and then you can skip down to verse 14 and verse 15, it's on the horizontal. And so when we pray to our Father, we speak to Him and about His will and all that. That will be our text today. But then when we pray, well, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, that's on the horizontal. So it's vertical, it's horizontal, but it's also personal. So in verse 13, he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So in our prayer, and the manner of our prayer deals with God, deals with man, and deals with ourselves. But then one other thing before we really get into the meat of the message today, and as we think about this passage, is the frequency, and it's mentioned there in verse 11. In the middle of his prayer, as he talks on the horizontal, he says, give us this day our daily bread. And so the frequency is every day. Every day. Hence, daily perspective. And so we trust that this review is helpful, but let us concern ourselves with this daily perspective. Verse 9. Three points to my message today. The first one is recognition. Verse 9, he says, our Father, which art in heaven. Recognition. Every day, my friend, I submit unto you that we ought to have a recognition of God, who God is. So in this model prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. And a few points under this, I just submit unto you that to recognize God is to honor Him. You know, some people go through life with no regard for God. They have no concept. They have no understanding. They go day after day after day after day, and they never give a thought about God. And the sad thing is, sometimes as Christians, we can get into that. We can go day after day and not even give a thought about God. What a sad thing that it would be. We're to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. We need to recognize God, and I believe when we recognize God, we honor Him. The psalmist says in Psalm 145, verse 2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. And when you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, when you recognize God, you're blessing His name, and God is honored. And the book of Psalms, again, in the 68th Psalm, it says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. I mean, you know who God is. You know that God has blessed you and God has provided for you. So you give Him the honor and you give Him the glory. And I submit unto you, as you approach every day, that you need to, first of all, recognize God. When you get up out of your bed, or if you're going to sit on the side of the bed, or whatever you do in your manner in the morning, you ought to think about God first and foremost. God is my God. and recognize Him. And that will remind us as we go out from the morning throughout the rest of the day that our day is not to be all about us. If I think about God in the morning and know that I have a Heavenly Father in heaven and there's a God in heaven, then it's not all about me. And so I would encourage you as you think about your day, think first of all about God. May we honor God every day, all day long. I think that'll make a difference for your perspective if you'll get up and say, the first thing you think of is God. I just believe that'll make a difference for you as you go through your life. The second thing I would submit unto you is that to recognize God reminds us of who we are. And by that I mean we're creatures. We're God's creation, aren't we? Those who are atheists, who have no concern for God, don't believe that God exists, well, they're the pinnacle. They're the center. So humanistic theology or concept is not unfamiliar with our society. Man is the center of everything. No, it isn't, my friend. And so if you'll take your eyes off you and put your eyes upon God, you'll be much better off. So if you get up in the morning and you recognize who God is, you not only know about Him, but it'll remind you of you. God is God, and I'm a man. I'm a person. I was created by God. Romans chapter 1, verse 25 reminds us that God, these people that are false teachers, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Take away worship of God to worship creatures and other people and all kinds of ideas. But my friend, if we'll recognize who God really is, then we'll recognize who we really are. We'll be reminded of that, and we need that reminder. Psalm 100 and verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." It's good to have an understanding of who you are before the sovereign God of the universe. Sometimes man becomes very arrogant. We don't care about God. We'll do what we want. And I remember one time where a guy shook his fist toward the heaven and said, "Kill me, God, kill me." You know why he did that? Because he didn't believe in God and he didn't believe God would kill him. Because if he did, I surely believe he wouldn't have been shaking his fist and tempting God to do so. But as individuals, we can go about our life focusing upon ourselves, that we're the center. And we become so arrogant. We would be much better served if we would, in our mornings, as we begin our new day, think about God, and as we remember who God is, we'll remember who we are. And so we'll recognize that our day is not only to satisfy what we want. It's just not all about me, that there is more to life than ourselves. I mean, frankly, my friend, how often do you give thought to God during your day? You say, "Well, you don't know what type of job I have." I understand that. Certain jobs will have to take a complete focus. I understand that. But still, there are often minor breaks, and even if you do run into a huge statistical problem or something like that, you can still say, "You know what, God, I don't understand this. Give me some insight here." Infuse God in all of your activities, all of your day. Don't go about as if God doesn't exist. So remember who God is. Remember who you are. The third thing I would offer unto you is that I believe if we would pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," this reminds us of our relationship with Him. Because it says, "Our Father." Turn, if you would, to the book of Galatians, the fourth chapter. Just a quick reference here. The book of Galatians, the fourth chapter. I want to remind you that as Christians, you that are saved, you are sons of God. Now that's what the Bible has to say. We are children of God. And the Scripture is very clear. It's not everybody in the world are children of God. We're His creatures, but only those who have truly been born again are children of God, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So here in Galatians in chapter 4 and in verse 6 it says, "And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." What a delight it is, as you go back to our passage, what a delight it is to know that I have a relationship with the sovereign God of the universe, that He is my Father, and I am His Son. Oh, to remember that every day. We have a Heavenly Father, and we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. sometimes as Christians we'll go through this life and the trials and tribulations will bear upon us so much that we'll begin to question whether or not God loves us. We'll wonder. But yet we know the Scripture says that He loves us as much as He loves His own Son. God's love will never falter toward me. Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So every morning, even though your day, you know it's going to be a difficult day. I would remind you that there is a God, you're a man, and you have, if you're saved, and you have a heavenly Father who loves you. In chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, in verse 11, it says, Jesus teaching, and He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Aren't you glad that you have a heavenly Father who loves you, who delights in blessing you? Well, that's the thing to keep in mind every day as you start your day. And so we have a relationship with God. And our relationship requires interaction and consideration and response. Therefore, do not neglect God throughout your day. It's an interaction. There's consideration. There's response. You that are married, if you have any kindness and appreciation toward your spouse, you know what? Sometime during the day, you're going to encounter them. You're going to speak to them. And I know there are extenuating circumstances, business trips, things like that. But still, you'll call back, won't you? You'll think about it. There's different responses, but the point is, there will be an involvement. There will be a consideration. There's just not a neglect there, is there? There shouldn't be. And so develop that relationship. Understand that as a child of God, every morning, I have a Heavenly Father, and I have a relationship with God. And that relationship provides encouragement and comfort. And I submit unto you, my dear friend, every day, if you'll remember your relationship, it's as Dr. B. Gray Allison always said when he was in the seminary, he'd say, remember who you are and whose you are. And I've said that to our children too as they start to leave out the house. Remember who you are and whose you are. And as children of God, as we arise up every morning, if we'll remember who God is and our relationship with Him, and we remember who we are and whose we are, my, what a difference that will make throughout our day. Fourthly, I would submit unto you that recognizing God directs us toward right priorities. He says that we begin our prayer, our Father which art in heaven. And so if we know who God is, and well, it's going to direct us toward right priorities. Why? Because He is God. And what is then His will? We're going to talk more about that in just a moment, so we won't elaborate on it. But I do want to give you a quick example. You know, when a person is single, that all their life is just kind of consumed with them, and they do what they want, and they leave when they want, and they come home when they want, and all their decisions and how they spend their money, everything is about them because they're single and that they're just on their own. But when you get married, you can't just do that because you're no longer single. Now you have to think about your spouse. And then when children come along, it's just not about you, but it's about your spouse and for them. The relationship will direct your priorities. Does that make sense to you? And so if you'll remember, I have a relationship with God, and He is the God of the universe. I have then priorities need to be adjusted based upon that relationship. Therefore, my day should not be all about what I want. I want to decide what I want, go where I want, do what I want. Who cares what God thinks? It should not be like that. So if we want to have a right perspective, a correct perspective, a daily perspective that honors God, we want to have the proper priorities. And I think when recognizing who God is, our Father which art in heaven, that will direct us that way. And then let me submit unto you that recognizing God also reminds us of our domain. I just want to touch on this because it says, our Father which is in heaven. That means He's in heaven, we're on the earth. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, be not rash with thy mouth, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. You say, well, what's the point about your domain? You have to remember where we are. In this world, the Scripture says, Jesus told him in John chapter 16, in this world you shall have tribulation. Do you expect anything different? You know why? Because this is our domain. This is where we live. This is life. And I know it's life as a result of sin. If Adam and Eve had never sinned against God, then things would have been entirely different. But they did sin, and we sin. And so as you rise every day, don't have a false view about life. Don't have a false perspective about what could happen on a day. Sin happens, doesn't it? Things come into our lives. Troubles and trials and tribulations and temptations. All kinds of things. And so just keep in mind that this is our domain. What do you expect? We're here on this earth. Now all these things that I mentioned unto you, especially who we are and where we live, all of this shows our dependency upon Him. When He says, this is the manner you pray, He says, our Father which art in heaven. That's where we start. And that will give us a proper perspective for the day. It shows our dependency upon Him. Who do you talk to? You talk to God. You talk to your Father. Now what I learned from this is we can pray. That's the lesson of the passage itself. But we also should pray. Not only can we pray, but we should pray. And we also learn that He is our resource. He is our guide. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, it says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Every day, my friend, you're absolutely dependent upon God. How will you conduct your day? I believe you ought to consume it with God. Let God direct your path. So let me ask you, do you face your day alone? Are you alone? Well, you're not alone, but you might face it alone. You might think that you're isolated. Let me ask you, do you try to fix everything without God's help? Without God's direction, without His Word? If you do, then boy, expect some difficulty throughout the day. The daily perspective is our Father which art in heaven, and so many things of which we discussed, I think, will help us to have that perspective as we deal with our day. Let's notice the second point in the message, and it's the last part of verse 9. Not only do we have recognition, but also reverence. Hallowed be thy name. So we recognize who God is, but then there's a reverence. The word hallowed in the text, the Greek root word means actually to be separate from common condition and use. That's the word for holy. But to be hallowed is to be separate. It is to be consecrated. It can be cleansed or to sanctify. It is to regard or reverence as being holy. And so when we think about God, we recognize Him. He says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What kind of perspective ought we have toward God as we approach our day? It ought to be a reverence. Hallowed be thy name. Just a few thoughts and we'll pass on to the next thought. That is this. In contrast to sin in the world, there is that which is holy. Hallowed be thy name. Some people think that this is just the way it is. This life is all this way. Everything's corrupt. Well, in this domain, everything's corrupt, but there is a holy God. There are things which are hallowed. There are things which are pure. All things are not equal. All things are not common. And this is not all there is. And this is not what we have to be. Some people say we live in this life and this is the way it is, and that's human nature and all that. Ah, but there is the hallowed. And we don't have to be like that. We don't have to pursue those kind of things. Hallowed be thy name. All that we would do well to recognize God, but also reverence God. The second point of this is that what we learn is that God is distinct from all other gods and all other people, all other things. Hallowed be thy name. And that tells me that He is above and beyond. There's nothing that comes close to Him. God is the one who's holy. He is pure. He deserves our reverence and He deserves our consideration. We know so many people who have no thought toward God, who have no reflection, and we have those who go about our society in boldness, saying there is no God. Well, they're wrong, aren't they? There is a God in heaven, and He is a holy God. He is a just God, and He is not like us. Psalms 50 warns us to where you thought I was altogether such a one like unto yourself. But He says, I will reprove you. And we make a mistake sometimes because what we do is we make God in our image and then we try to serve in this world in the image of God which we've created. And you're best served if you'll go back and look into the Scriptures and see who God really is and serve the God that's represented in the Word of God, not something you created in your own image. God is holy. Hallowed be thy name. Now, how does that affect us? How should that reflect upon me in my daily perspective? Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. I submit unto you, as you start your day, you have a recognition of God and those other matters, the relationship and our dependency, all those things. But always keep in mind that God is to be revered. God is a holy God. And that will affect me and that will affect you in our daily walk in the manner of which we will desire to be sanctified or cleansed. I've asked you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 17 where the Scripture commands us and says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." What should be our mandate every day? Come out from among them and be separate. I dare say sometimes as we start our day, we've already made our plans and we already know when we're going to sin and we know we're going to do this and we know we're going to say this and we know we're going to respond this way. We already make plans to be sinful. Hallowed be thy name. Come out from among them and be separate. And so not only should there be a recognition every morning, there ought to be a reverence. And so we should do well to ask God, "God, help me throughout this day to be pure. Help me to be clean. Help me to be separate. Cause me to make the right decisions that would honor you." Very simply, our daily lives should reflect His involvement in our lives. And God is a holy God. And so may His grace rest upon us that every day our perspective is, I know who you are, I know who I am, and God, I want to honor you by my life that I might live holy this day. Ask God every morning, let me live holy. Cause me to be pure. Guide my heart and protect me. So that's reverence. Recognition, reverence. Last thing is this, verse 10, response. Go back to our passage, Matthew chapter 6, response. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What kind of response ought we to have? And this will cause us to have the kind of daily, if this daily perspective will cause us to have a proper response. Now he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. First of all, I submit unto you, and we'll just enumerate these. Very evident within the passage, he has a kingdom. The word kingdom comes from the Greek word for king or monarch. And so this is a kingdom or a realm. Thy kingdom come. So he has a kingdom. And let me submit unto you, it is a heavenly kingdom. Remember, God is in heaven. Our domain is here. John chapter 18 and verse 36, Jesus answered and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, then I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is my kingdom not from hence." Jesus Christ is king. And he has a realm, but it's a heavenly kingdom. And he's working his kingdom out in this earth. But we'll find in the text that this kingdom is not literally present yet. Because it says, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Now, subjects are here, of course. Subjects of the realm are present. But the kingdom is not literally present yet. And so we're told to pray. As we face our day every day, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus is king over a heavenly kingdom. And that tells me that as I approach my day, that the activities and my responses during this day should reflect his majesty over me. He is my king. He is my Lord. He is my master. And we should be concerned about the advancement of his kingdom. And so you'll find in the Gospels where they went about preaching the kingdom of God. And we should be well concerned about that as they were. And so he has a kingdom. That should be our response. God's king. I'm his subject. I need to be responsive to him. But then there ought to be the desire to have him reign. Some people are not interested in that. They want to do what they want to do. Notice it says, thy kingdom come. I want you to have leadership over me. I want you to reign over me. And we ought to have that desire. But then you'll notice the last part of that text deals with his will. Your kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Not only should we desire his reign over us, which will make a difference for our day, but we should desire his will to be accomplished. The word will comes from the Greek root word, which means to exercise the will. Thus, the word can be translated as will or inclination. It could be purpose or design. But thy will be done. We understand that word in English. And so our desire every day as we begin our day, God, may your kingdom come. May we be the kind of subjects we ought to be. Your will be done. Let me be obedient. Let me be submissive to you. Let me be responsive to you. And so if we begin our day that way, then by God's grace, we'll keep that thought throughout the day. And my, what a difference that will make for us. All depends on perspective, doesn't it? What's your view? And so he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think of this in two capacities. Your will be done not only on a personal level, but in a worldwide level. Is not God the God of the universe? Is he upon his throne? Absolutely. Your will be done on earth. Not just in me, but all the world over. Your will be done. And this involves our day, doesn't it? It involves our choices. It involves our responsibilities and our priorities. Your will, O God. Your will. Not mine, but yours. What a difference that makes as we go throughout our day. If we'll say, God, not my will, but yours. What a difference. The last thing I just want to note quickly in passing, and that it's just a statement here, the end of that verse in verse 10 says, as it is in heaven. Did you ever stop to consider that God's will is not perfectly being performed on the earth? But our desire is that it would be. He says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is perfectly accomplished in heaven, but men are rebellious here and sinful here. But it still should be our desire that we would do his will. And that's the prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And I believe that'll make a difference for you and for me if we reflect upon the truths of this passage. So in closing, a few thoughts. Number one, every day, God is to be in our thoughts. Daily. Daily perspective. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily. Therefore, secondly, every part of the day, God is to be considered. What a mistake I make when I try to do something without involving God, without seeking his will, without aligning it with his word. What a mistake that is. So may we focus upon God every day and make God part of every day. And then number three, it should be our delight to do his will and to be obedient servants to the kingdom of heaven. Let us be the kind of servants he would have us to be. So true Christianity, my friend, is a lifestyle, isn't it? It's just not something we do on Sunday. Every day, our daily perspective is, I'm a servant of the King. Not just today. And then number four, his priorities should be our guide. So let us bring a smile to our Heavenly Father's face. God, not my will, but yours be done. And then finally, our perspective of the day. Remember the message is daily perspective. Our perspective of the day should begin in the morning. Give us this day our daily bread. What's the best time to get your perspective right? As you start your day. Now, if you get up and you forget and you don't focus on God and you go about half your day, maybe God will bring it to your attention at lunchtime or something like that. You can still make correction for the rest of the day. But the best time to have your daily perspective is in the beginning, at the start. And I would remind you of Paul's words to the Philippians Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So every day, every morning, as we look toward our day, may we have the mind of Christ. May we reflect upon this passage that says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I ask you, how will you view your day from now on? I pray that you'll view it differently than you have in the past, unless you've already been doing this. And dear sinner, I want you to know, you better have a reflection upon God and have a perspective and a viewpoint toward Him, because there is a God whether you believe it or not. And there is a judgment yet to come. But there's also a Savior, Jesus Christ, who came nearly 2,000 years ago. He was crucified, He was buried, and He rose again, and He'll give eternal life to all who believe. You can be saved. Would you change your perspective about God? Would you repent and believe and have eternal life? Well, let us have a daily perspective. May it involve God in every aspect of our day. Let's stand and we'll sing. 371 will be the song. 371. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. I pray that you bless your word to our hearts, and I ask that you would take it by your Spirit and meet every need. Lord, you know. And help us to have the right perspective every day. Earlier in the day, may we love you, may we serve you. Lord, forgive us where we fall short. May we just honor you day after day after day. And so, Lord, correct where we've erred in these matters. And we pray for the lost that they might be saved. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.